about a month ago on the Wednesday night rotation and began to initiate on the subject of healing for I shared then was, I believe, the beginning of a series with a focus on this doctrine and subject of healing. And as I said then, I'll say again tonight, I for me personally, I've been focusing on this for over almost 2 years now. And I feel, as we've been taught, pregnant and about to give birth in terms of delivery of what's inside of me. And so there's a whole lot of areas that I could go to, and I spent some time in prayer just now again to really yield myself to the presence of the Holy Spirit, because what I want to come forth, I don't want my thoughts, but I want God's thoughts for our lives. And so going back to the last time that I was in the pulpit on Wednesday night, just for a refresher, now as I go forward, I hope you're a note taker. I can't really see real well tonight as to who's here, but I know we have seasoned disciples, and that's okay, and that's desirable, really, because, again, I think that with what I'm going to be sharing and where I'm going and what I'm looking at and considering before God, this is just the beginning. And this is, I'm committed. I'm committed to, at this point, for the emphasis of my presentations to be focused on this doctrine, this subject, until the Holy Spirit tells me differently. And so going back just a little bit to kind of lay a foundation, the Holy Spirit for years has been impressing upon me and challenging me to address the responsibility of healing and stepping out and self-abandonment, if you will, to allow for the Holy Spirit to move, to bring an impartation and an emphasis for healing. And the challenge has been coming over the years for me to allow God to really address this in my own spirit and soul. But 2 years ago at the pastor's conference, maybe even three, Pastor Schaller went into an address to the pastors there from Ezekiel 34 with the responsibilities and there in that passage. And I'll just put this out there for you to study on your own. You know, God brought an indictment to the shepherds. And one of the three major indictments that was brought was that they weren't healing the sheep. And the Holy Spirit, I'm just convicted of this, just impresses upon me and convicted me of that indictment in this respect, that it was part of our responsibility. And I went away from there just intrigued with this and began to study and question it and pursue it. And I eventually came to the conclusion that one of and part of the ways that we accomplish that is through presenting the Word. And so a major portion in the Scriptures for the foundational premise and content of where I'm coming from and what the Holy Spirit is emphasizing through me is found in Proverbs 4, verses 20 through 24. And we went into that the last time I was into the pulpit. But essentially there, Solomon is writing, and the Word says that we are to attend unto the words that we are hearing, the words of the instruction of the Spirit through the Word of God, and that we are to lock them in our heart, not let them depart from our eyes. And it goes on to say that the Word of God is life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. And then jump from there, and like I say, I'm just touching on this because each time I intend to bring an emphasis. But again, I titled the first part of this series on Psalm 107, and if it's just let the Holy Spirit refresh the different times in memory that I've been in the pulpit recently, that's been a key psalm and verse that I've been looking at and bringing forth. And Psalm 107, verse 20, they cried out to the Lord in their destruction and their diseases, and he sent his word to heal them. He sent his word to heal them. And there's the key verse, that he sent his word to heal them. And it's the word of God that brings healing. Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing, hearing how? By the word of God. And so where is it that we are equipped to receive and be set up to bring healing? It's through hearing the word of God, through abiding in the word, through the outpouring of the Spirit in the form of the living word of God in John 1:1, Jesus Christ, his name, the word of God. And we cry out to him, we seek him with all our hearts. Problems come in, troubles come on the horizon, sickness comes in a report from the doctor's analysis. There's people come in with problems in their lives, and they're in bondage, and they want to be set free. And in every single case, the answer is the word of God. The answer is Jesus Christ. And so as a shepherd, as an under-shepherd in this body, my responsibility, our responsibility, and your responsibility as you go forward to serve God as believer priests is to learn what God says, learn about God's nature, and to feed the flock the word of God, because it's the word that God sends forth that brings, and by the power of the Spirit, does the healing. And there's a word right there that I could just spend hours on to, the power of God. And when it comes to healing, if you embark and begin to study this doctrine of healing, you'll see and find that the word reveals that God works in power to heal. You know, Paul wrote in Romans chapter 1, verse 18, he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of salvation to all whom believe. The power of salvation to whom all believe. Now, we have been well taught, and we understand that power that he's speaking of is addressing the enablement of grace to change people's lives. That's a revelation of the effect of the power that's released through the gospel of Jesus Christ, the power to change lives, the power to set people free. And we see it in changed lives. But not only is it the changing of lives, but there is the aspect of the literal power of God to deliver and to heal is contained in that. The word power in Romans 1 is taken from the word dunamos, and the word dynamite, you know, can be extracted from that in the English, but the dunamos power of God. That word dunamos is also translated as virtue, speaking of the virtue love of Jesus Christ. And when you go into the illustrations of healings, one of them that comes out and stands out very often when ministers address this is the picture of the story of the woman with the issue of blood who had heard about Jesus, and she went and she pressed through the crowd and she touched his garment. It's believed that she touched the crescendos of the prayer shawl that Jesus was wearing. And the word says that virtue went out from him. And he turned, and you know the story. He asked, who touched me? Who touched me? I learned last night that Catherine Coleman used to sing that song as a preeminent song. He touched me. in her presentations and in the ministry that she conducted in healing years ago. But Dunamos is there, and that word, and translated as virtue, the virtue love of God, and it's a reflection and a definition that characterizes the divine nature of God. It's the power to heal. We find it also when Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and he gave this promise and commission that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the ends of the earth. And that, there again, that word power is taken from the word dunamos. And it's the literal power of the divine nature of God Almighty. And in the emphasis of the revelation of what I'm imparting, it's in the area of healing. And going back to Romans 1:18, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of salvation to all those who believe. And the word salvation there, one of the things I've discovered, and it took me a long time to really begin to get a hold of this, is the fact that our salvation includes the enabling ability of grace to not only be saved, but to be healed. One of the things that just kind of I had to really get before God and meditate and study and see what the scriptures were really saying is this idea that healing is included in the atonement. Now, as I make that statement, you know, that can open a can of worms. But I want you to see and take this home and look for yourself. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news, the gospel. Now, we know the gospel to be the good news, that if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. And Romans 10 says that all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that word saved, and here in Romans 1:18, salvation itself is taken from the Greek words No, I just drew a blank. sozo, is it? Yes, a little bit louder, Pastor Moore.
Sozo is to save.
To save, okay, sozo. Now, if you look that up in the Greek, in the Strong's, you'll see the definition there. And I've seen many commentaries bring this out, in not just the Strong's, but other sources that we look to, and it's to save, but it's much more than just being saved in terms of the atonement of salvation, that is going to heaven and not to hell through our faith in the good news. It's much, much more than that. We take it in the main perception of the presentation of the gospel that it's saved from hell going to heaven by our faith response in what Jesus has done for us. But it also includes everlasting life and healing. John chapter 3, where Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus, and he says, God so loved the world that he gave his only uniquely begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him will not perish, but receive the gift of eternal life, or everlasting life. Everlasting life. Everlasting life. And the word life there is the presentation of the abundant life, the resurrected life, the Zoe life, not just the bios life, but the Zoe life that comes through our faith in what Jesus has done. And it includes healing. When you look up the definition of salvation, you find out it's not just being saved in terms, there is the context of the atonement, but it also includes health and healing. Jesus in John chapter 14 said, when he was talking about going and preparing a place for us, he says that I leave my peace with you, not as the world gives, give it, give I the peace that passes understanding in Philippians 4:4. But there in John 14, the word peace is translated from the word that is connected to the Hebrew word for peace that is most often translated as the word shalom. And it's the shalom of God. The shalom of God. And the Hebrews, the Jews, use it in their language as an expression of greeting and a departure expression and an expression of blessing, the shalom of God. And the shalom in the Hebrew, translated English, peace, the shalom of God, shalom is defined as, now hear me carefully, it's defined as wholeness, health, healing, prosperity, long life, all the blessings of God and the promises. And there's more. And all of that is encapsulated in part of the definition of salvation in sozo. It's not just the atonement aspect of it, although it's there in the definition. I was reading with Mark today in one of the commentaries, and they went into, you know, there's the in the word salvation in Romans 1:18, enfolded in the definition is all of the atonement, the expiation, the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice, the redemption of our souls, the effect of the outpouring. All that's included, all those doctrines, but also included is health, healing, prosperity, preservation, long life, abundant life. And Jesus said in John 10:10, I have come to bring us life, abundant life. And this is what he was speaking of. And again, I'm just touching on the iceberg. But when you go back to, because from a doctrinal constraint position, one of the things I had to wrestle with was this idea of the atonement and what God is saying through the definition of salvation. And I begin to discover that back in Isaiah 52 and 53, Isaiah was speaking of the Savior going to the cross. And in that passage, you'll read, it says that the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And that word peace, again, is connected to the shalom of God. Okay? And you go forward in that passage and you read in that prophetic statement of Isaiah about Jesus' atonement and what he did at Calvary. It says, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. The shalom, wholeness, health, healing, prosperity, long life, the blessing, the promises of God, all in the passion of Christ. And then when he went to the cross and shed his blood in the atonement, well, we know it, but just backing up a little bit, the point that I want to bring out and for our consideration is that the passion is where we get the term by his stripes there in Isaiah 53:11. By his stripes Isaiah says we are healed. 1 Peter 2:27, Peter says, by his stripes we were healed. And again, Peter's referring in context to sin, but when you look at sin and go into the definition of it, you begin to realize that Christ became sin, paid for the wages for sin, which is death. But in the effect of the fall, going back to Adam, sin is what produces all the suffering, the infirmities, the diseases. If you look at Isaiah 53:11 again, by his stripes we are healed. Like you say, I'm just touching the iceberg. This is all things that I've been meditating on. And it's there. It's there in the passion, because you can't separate. Now, if this sounds like a little bit off base in terms of context,
If you're, this is what I was challenged with.
You've got to look at the definition of sin and what sin entails. And you can't separate what sin does and produces from what sin is and its effect as a result of the fall. It'd take me an hour to explain that to you. Okay? But I just realize you can make the statement, make the application, and it's doctrinally sound that healing is something that God has done in the in our redemption, in the good news. And I recently heard one of the things that I've been doing, and this is, if you will, you know, Romans 8:28 says God works all things together for them that are called according to his purpose, that love him. Now, with my eyesight, I've been forced to study in different mannerisms than what I've been used to. And one of the things that has done is forced me to give more to audio and listening to others. And in seeking God, and part of the motivation for what got me into this was not only the conviction that was coming through the Spirit in what I mentioned earlier, but part of the motivation for this doctrine, obviously, is me seeking healing for my eyes, okay? And one of the things that I began to be intrigued with, and I believe now there's the Holy Spirit just drawing me in that direction, is to take a look and listen to some other tables of feeding and to glean from them. I went to a men's breakfast about a year ago, and Pastor Eric gave a beautiful message on gleaning. If any of the men were there, it's something to really consider. And what he spoke on was how to listen to those that, you know, there's stuff in their theology that's maybe a little bit off base, but to have the ability of grace to hear the Holy Spirit teaching and to glean what is truth, what is appropriate, what applies, to rightly divide the word. And so as I'm listening to others, I begin to study some of the quote-unquote faith healers of the past and of the present. And I've been learning a lot of this that I've been picking up. I've been gleaning and going back to the word and just studying and say, okay, what is legitimate here? What is balanced in terms of pure doctrine? And how do we appropriate it? And being very careful not to get off balance in the consideration. And I've come to the conviction, by his stripes we have been healed, is the idea there in the doctrinal premise is this, that Jesus in the redemption and the atonement has purchased our healing. And that's a loaded statement, but I believe it's true. And one of the things that I've come into the revelation of is that we are to seek God for healing. Because the things that we suffer in terms of what comes against us. Now, here's the balance in terms of we've been well taught. We have been very well taught. And we are equipped doctrinally. We understand that there is biblical premise in the Word of God gives us counsel for reasons for healing. I won't even go into, you know, the reasons for healing because we've done wrong. But I mean, in terms of walking with disciples as disciples, there's the doctrine of being called to fellowship in the sufferings of Jesus Christ. There's the message of the cross. There is, Peter's letters, there is the trials of our faith that are much more precious than gold and of silver. There is being trophies of grace on display, going back to Job and being chosen to be put on display, and if you will, even being shown off for what we've been taught and what God has invested in us. But one of the things I want you to bring out in mentioning Job and just touching on that balance of what I'm bringing forth, when you look at Job's affliction, with the exception of the loss of his physical family members, was for a season. And God taught him some things during that season. But Job, in the end, came out on top and was rewarded a double portion for what was taken from him. The point is, Job was healed in the end. And if you will, he was ultimately healed in the finished work in this respect, that he was reunited with his loved ones in heaven. Okay? And we know that there's heavenly rewards for that type of suffering. But with all that, God wants us to seek him for healing unless he tells us no. And there's an emphasis for tonight. And I want to plant, and I'm going to continue, I intend to continue to cultivate under the inspiration and the empowerment of the Spirit, cultivate faith for healing in the body. Because I believe that what is coming is a manifestation of the outpouring of the Spirit for miraculous deliverances and healings in our experience in the corporate body that we are a part of. And I want to cultivate this because there's two major elements that have to come into play. Pastor Moore just recently spoke on a Sunday morning, and he talked about expectation. Psalm 62:5, expectation. And he brought out in that same message the illustration of the friends that brought a friend and lowered him through the roof to be healed. Okay? And these two elements are there. One is the speaker and the person that's initiating the emphasis of the Spirit has to have faith and belief in what God can do in terms of imparting healing and miracles and the power, release of power. And so like the friends, they brought their friend on a stretcher and lowered him into Jesus. And really you can say based on their faith and their activity, that friend was healed. And we can do that, and we can stand in a gap and pray and stand in proximity for others. But then there's the other side of it, and the balance and the understanding of this. There has to be faith for healing in the person that's receiving it, in the body that's going to experience it. And that's my part as an under-shepherd, as a shepherd, to preach the word. There's over 50 illustrations in the New Testament of Scripture that deal with healing. And I think 19 specific stories in full of Jesus healing. And so we preach the Word of God, and the Word of God produces faith. And faith, which directs us to God, gives us access to the grace wherein by we are saved. And here's another loaded statement, okay? Just like salvation is grace through faith in Jesus Christ plus nothing, included there and put in the word healing is by the grace of God through faith that's produced as we hear the word in Jesus and what he wants to impart. There's a message all by itself, okay? Salvation is by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Healing is by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus accomplished the healing on the cross of Calvary. He purchased, if you will, you'll hear this out there, and I'm believing it myself now and embracing it. Our healing was purchased at Calvary. And God wants us to learn what the Word of God says about it. And I need to back up now because, like I said, I'm loaded. Okay, so just bear with me. But we are to seek healing unless God tells us differently. Paul had a ministry of healing. But Paul also had because of the revelation of what he had received in his relationship with Jesus Christ, God, the Word of God says that God had to humble him because of the intense revelation of what he had received, that God had to humble him. And Paul was charged not to share certain things that had been revealed to him as he was taken into the third heaven and taught. And so the word says that he was sent a messenger of Satan. Now, there's been many that have tried to define what is that messenger of Satan. I've gone back and forth on it, but I finally have come to the conviction that I believe that it was a problem with his eyesight. And there's three major reasons why. One, there's a description in the New Testament that Paul had a look as a result of infection in his eyes that kind of gave him a kind of a strange appearance. And one of the common diseases that was predominant back then was pink eye. Okay? I'm just touching on it, but another thing that comes into play is Paul, in his writing, he closes one of his epistles with, "You see how large letters I have used to write to you." And the commentaries will tell you that Paul wrote in large letters. Who uses large letters to write? Somebody who's almost blind. And also, many of his letters were dictated, it's taught. Okay? But here's the one that really kind of puts a nail in the coffin for me. In the Greek language, where it's translated, "a messenger of Satan was given to Paul," I just recently learned this, that passage in the Greek is defined as a piercing, intense pain that is of the level of the crucifixion in terms of the nails being driven into the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. And that that is the definition of the messenger of Satan that is there in the original language. And I got to think about it for a minute. If you maybe can ask me in a rap, but I can bring out the references and the men that teach this and where it came from. But Paul sought the Lord three times for his eyesight, it's believed, for this messenger of Satan to be removed. And the Lord said, "My grace is sufficient for you." We know the story, okay? But I bring it out to bring in this. Other than that, we are to seek God for healing. We want to be very careful of saying, well, the doctor brings in the report, and it's an illness that's affecting our body, may even be a report of detriment to our health in terms of, it might be terminal in its context and definition. We are to seek God for healing. They that find the words of life, or find the words of God and hear them from the pulpit, hear them from the word, they are life to those that find them, back to Proverbs 4:20. And they are health to all their flesh. And we are to seek God. Seek God. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Until you either possess the promise and the release of the power to be healed, or God tells you differently. Okay? And I'll just make this commentary, and maybe you've never thought of this before, but listen. You don't take the attitude of, well, I've got this disease, and I'm going to glorify God, and I'm going to be my best into it because it's just going to kill me, and it's the sovereignty of God. Okay? Be careful of that. Because if you really want to go there with that line of thinking, and you come under an affliction, remember the Psalm says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, and the Lord delivers them from them, fill in the blank with me, all. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them from them all. Okay? And so I'll just put this out there. I like to do it in a funny way, but time is short, and we're probably over time for all I know. But anyways, listen, think about this. If it were the will of God for you to suffer in the disease or the infirmity that you're fighting and for it to remain, then it would be sin for you to go to the doctor and seek help for the doctor in the midst of that experience. In other words, it would be sin for you or I to go seek help for our infirmity if it's the will of God for us to suffer that. Now, it may be if I'm careful with this, the will of God for us to suffer it for a season in the trial. But remember this, God didn't bring it, generally speaking. The enemy brings it. Or sin brings it in the production of the effect of sin. Or the attack of the enemy in our lives. Satan, predominantly more is the primary source of the infirmities and the diseases that we suffer from. And we are to seek God. We are to seek the help of what God has provided in the terms of the medical profession, what they have to offer. But at the same time, simultaneously, we go to God. We go to God first. We go to God with them. And when they don't have anything to offer, we continue to go to God. And we go to God and we learn what does His Word say, embrace His Word, learn the full counsel of what God has to say from His Word. And we seek Him and find Him and find out, okay, what's got to be applied here? And we cry out to the Lord, Psalm 107, and He sends His Word to heal us. He sends His Word to heal us. Now, I'm trying to be conscious of time, but I'm just going to a couple more things and just bring these in there because I want you to understand what's going through in my heart. I believe, personally, my conviction right now is this. I believe that we are entering into a season where God, in the end time scenario of what we're learning about in the Word of God and what's being portrayed in the papers as we read and hear the news, I believe we're going into a season when God, and in this local assembly as well, I believe that God is going to manifest miraculous healings and deliverances and answers to our prayers because of the times that we're going into. I believe that we're going into the latter part of the Joel 2 prophecy, dealing with the end time moment or hour just before the rapture and God dealing with the nation of Israel in the time of Jacob's trouble. We're going into that season where Joel prophesied that there would be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Or depending on the translation, it says that all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. It says there in Joel 2, the latter part of Joel 2 and Joel 3, that there will be in Jerusalem and in Mount Zion, there will be an outpouring of the Spirit, and deliverance will be available. And Dr. Stevens went into this in a message. If you want to look into the archives and study it, going back years and years ago, he preached a message called Corporate Pentecost. And in that message, I just dug this out, and it kind of just summarizes, cemented everything that I've been studying. And that he said that this time would come and there would be multitudes of miraculous healings, multitudes of miraculous deliverances within the corporate body of Christ, and especially within this corporate body. And what he said would it would be this, and what Joel said is that it would be an availability of grace that God would give to the saints for that end times revival just in that last hour window before the rapture. And you know what? We often joke about, and sometimes it's not a joke or it's serious, in terms of our expectation that we might be the generation to be raptured. I'm convinced that we're there. All right? And I believe that from a national viewpoint, we're talking about this today in a Wednesday study. I only got 20 years by, you know, God's definition of life. 20 years or less, let's say 80, 85. The reason why I use 80 or 85 because I'm thinking of Caleb and Joshua. All right? And believe in that promise. That's another message. But look at, we are seeing, and I've been leading an initiative to pray. We have people that are praying for this vision. And asking God to pour out His Spirit and to manifest miraculous provisions. Look at the number of people that are suffering seriously in our ranks. We need miracles. And God is giving miracles. But I'm believing that He's going to do more. That is the expectation that's being built in me. And I'm trying, all of this, what this is all about is trying to share it and impart it by the power of the Holy Spirit so that the body comes to the place where the body has the expectation and these miracles begin to manifest themselves. Because I believe it is the will and the desire of God. And I'll share this. Mark and I were talking about today. I'll go there with this. And like I say, I'm just touching the tips of the icebergs and every one of these things that I'm mentioning. But in the end times, think, if we are, and I believe we are that close in terms of the scenario time to the rapture, and by the way, what fits this? Look what President Obama just did in the administration to Israel and the NATO alliance and took place in the news that's in the headlines this weekend. You know what? We need to be, in Psalm 107, verse 20, it says that when God sent his word to save them, in the next scripture it says that we need to emphasize and remember to give God the glory and the acknowledgement for what he's done when we do cry out to him and he answers our prayers. God answered our prayers this year when Franklin Graham, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, did decision 2016 and traveled from state to state capital and led an initiative, a call to repentance and a call to prayer for our nation. And Donald Trump being elected into the presidential position was no small thing. It's a miracle and an answer from God. Regardless of where he's at in terms, many believe, many prominent ministers and pastors are testifying and publicly, internationally, that Donald has just recently received Christ by faith. We need to pray for him as an infant believer. He's got a long ways to go. But what put Donald Trump out of the picture, okay, faced with where we were headed as a nation, God responded to his initiation by the Holy Spirit. The people of God responded. They repented. Every state, the remnant come out and said yes and confessed their sins and turned to God and acted on 2 Chronicles, the word of God, 2 Chronicles 7:14. And what happened? Surprise, surprise, everybody caught everybody off guard. The election on November 8th. The enemy was defeated. The church acted. The church come out. At 2 o'clock in the morning, at 1 o'clock, they said in the commentaries, the headlines was, before they announced his winning, they said that we have learned that the highest percentage in history of evangelical believers have voted this year. And it made the difference. And now instead of having a president that is a reflection of the depravity of where we're at as a culture, we've got hope and change, because this man represents in the platform what we believe in and embrace in terms of the values of what we were praying for. That is an answer for prayer. And you know what? I believe it's a difference for what we're going to experience as a nation, as a people, and as a church in these last years as the Word of God is unfolded and the prophecies become fulfilled and it becomes reality. We're going to have a Daniel experience. And one of the things, if you look at the nation of Israel, when they were under bondage in Egypt, under Pharaoh, it says that God spoke to Moses, told Moses in the night of deliverance, kill a lamb, take the blood and put it on the doorpost and the sign of the cross, and then eat the lamb between the evening and the morning. And the next day it says that the word of God records this, that the multitude came out of Egypt. Think now, the hundreds of thousands, perhaps the millions. I think the number's there, but we can go into it and study. But they came out of Egypt in the Exodus. And it says not one feeble or lame or sick person was among them. They all came out under their own strength and reconnaissance. And they marched out through the Red Sea on their way to the Promised Land. Just draw a parallel with that to where we are now. By feasting on the Lamb as a remnant in the fulfillment of Joel chapter 2, we have the potential by the grace of God to go out as a healthy whole body. That's what I'm claiming. And I hope you'll follow. Because God is good, and God wants to heal, and God wants to do miracles. Not only, and just back to Isaiah 52, it says, surely he has borne our infirmities and our sorrows. And Strong says that It can be properly translated as our diseases and our pain. Okay? So, I think I'm probably way over time, but just take these thoughts. I believe, I can't really see real good out here tonight, but we have disciples in our midst. Take this to God in prayer. Go to the Word and study and meditate. And see what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. And I pray and trust He'll confirm it. And let the Holy Spirit build within us an expectation. Because God is moving. And He's moving in this arena of health and healing and deliverance. Shalom. Shalom, my brothers and sisters. Shalom. Health. Wholeness. Healing. Prosperity, long life, all the promises of God, the power of salvation to be His witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the ends of the earth. And that word again is the dunamos power of God to heal, to save, to redeem, to deliver. It's the word of God. Is the essence of the nature of Jesus Christ. In further sessions, in the ongoing of this series that I want to teach and continue with, I'm going to go into the authority of the believer. You can be studying in Peter's letters, the first early chapters. Go into Ephesians 1, 2, and 3. I want to bring in what Paul often and continuously prayed for in terms of the revelation that he desired his disciples to get a hold of, not only of the love of God, but of their position in the inheritance and the power of God that raised Jesus from the dead is in you and I. There's one just for us to nibble on until it comes forth, all right? Because I believe that God wants to move, and He wants to move now in our midst. And we have serious needs out here. And I'm believing God for miracles. We've already seen a number of them. I'm not going to go there tonight. But will you amen this? Amen. Father, we bow in Your presence. We thank You for Your love for us. And Father, I am excited. And I'm yielding myself to You and believing that it is Your Holy Spirit that wants to build and is initiating an expectation for You to move in power and in glory. And to You, God, be the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Okay.